From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. That was the sound of Israeli troops firing tear gas at Palestinian civilians Monday. Kanish Fatima has more.
Clashes took place in the city of Bethlehem, where 13-year-old boy Abdurrahman Abedullah was gunned down by Israeli troops. Abedullah's death brings to four the number of Palestinians killed by Israelis since Saturday. Hundreds of Palestinians have also been injured. Violence in the Israeli-occupied West Bank and Jerusalem al-Quds has intensified in the past few weeks.
There has apparently been a deal reached on the so-called Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP. Trade ministers from the Asia-Pacific region have reached a deal on the Pacific Trade Pact that's intended to cut trade barriers and establish common standards for 12 countries. It's the largest trade pact in 20 years and has been a long-term goal of the Obama administration. RT's Igor Piskunov has more.
This Trans-Pacific Partnership, frankly, is pretty huge. We're looking at these 12 countries, the United States, Mexico, Canada, Chile, pretty much the countries that go along the Pacific coast of the Americas. Then you've also got the Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and others. And together, they make up about 40% of the global economy, 400 million people, and so on. And it's aimed at dropping barriers, easing trade between these two countries. But the thing is, negotiations have been going on for about 5 years on this, and we don't really know a lot about them. Not very much details have been coming out of them, and so they can't really be called transparent. That's why many have been raising the question, is this partnership an actual step forward towards free trade across the world, or are its goals a bit different, perhaps to counter something with a name like China?
We have to make sure America writes the rules of the global economy. Because if we don't write the rules for trade around the world, guess what? China will.
However, just what those rules are remains unknown to the American people and most of the members of Congress. Trade analyst Felix Marino said this to RT's Kevin Owen.
It's going to affect a lot of people, which is why the people who've been most closely involved in drafting the agreement have worked so hard to make sure that it didn't come out to the public and that the public didn't have as much as a say as it could have. This is an agreement written and negotiated very hard by special interests, by large multinational companies with interests in all these countries. If they saw these details becoming public, it would be much harder for the agreement to be ratified by national parliaments. It's a very complicated agreement, and as is always the case with freer trade, some people benefit more than others. But also, as it's always the case with regulation, the people who help write it make sure to benefit the most.
U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter accused Russia of escalating what he called a civil war in Syria by conducting airstrikes in that Arab country. Carter said Russia is pursuing a losing strategy that will worsen the conflict in Syria. He claimed that Russia is hitting positions of Syria's opposition groups rather than those of ISIL terrorists. Carter said Russia is, quote, tethering itself to a sinking ship, closed quote, an apparent reference to the Syrian government. Moscow said it's ready to talk to Washington on the location of its so-called moderate opposition fighters in Syria. Meanwhile, Russia said the U.S. demand for the resignation of Syria's president violates international law. The U.S. counterclaimed that Russia had violated Turkey's airspace. Press TV's Kovi Tavwe reports.
The United States has voiced concern over what it calls Russia's violation of Turkish airspace. Washington has warned that the move could have resulted in a shootdown. The U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said that Turkey had the right to respond to Russian warplanes, quote, incursion. Kerry noted that he held talks with Turkish officials over the issue and would push Moscow to communicate more clearly about its operations in Syria. The NATO chief, Jens Stoltenberg, has also accused Russia of escalating tensions with the Western military alliance by what it calls the unacceptable violation of Turkish airspace. NATO's 28 members will meet later Monday to discuss the issue. Turkey's Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoglu said earlier that Russia has admitted that it violated the Turkish airspace, but described it as accidental.
Maria Zakharova is a spokesperson for the Russian Foreign Ministry. She spoke about the matter at a press conference in Moscow Tuesday.
To the actions taken on the ground and in the air to fight ISIS, the topic would be different. I may call it anti-Russian campaign in mass media in relation to the beginning of military part of combating ISIS following the request of the official Damascus. After the beginning of the military part of anti-terrorist operation by Russian troops in Syria, which began following the official request from the government of this country, the world mass media unleashed powerful anti-Russian information campaign about, well, there were lots of accusations, mostly illegal, illogical, unclear actions of Russia in Syria. We saw different accusations. We were accused of following our own personal interests, just Russian interests in the region, which were covered by fight with ISIS and other terrorist groups. We were also accused in the death of civilians, including children. Whatever happens in mass media nowadays is pretty simple. I will tell you, but you can check it up every day. First, there are words of some officials from the countries, which unfortunately do not understand why our policy is logical and sequential at this stage. So first, there are some official statements, and they also set the tone to numerous publications. And there are also comments based on some unofficial and unsupported and unnamed sources. The main purpose of all these statements, the main content of these statements, says that the task of Russia is to destroy moderate opposition in the region. And as a rule, it is all illustrated by pictures, which again are either archived or had nothing to do with this region, with this period of time. It is also supported by video materials, which when checked, are found having nothing to do with the situation. Presently, I can tell you without any exaggeration that any Western mass media used this tactics of operation. I would cite several examples now. I want you to find out about it, and maybe in this materials you will see yourself or your own mass media, and then probably we shall think about how to avoid similar situations in the future. For instance, Foreign Policy, a serious publication, and we also quote it pretty often. Quite recently, they published an article by Mr. Reed Standish. It is translated into Russian, and it is accessible. It is published on the portal, and it says that the alliance of rebels who are against ISIS. So they were victims of our bombing. And the reference is to the Foundation on Human Rights on Syria in Great Britain. The quote, on Friday, Russia said that it hit the camps in the area of Raqqa, but there is an opinion that the bombing was in the regions which were controlled by different rebel groups. Whose opinion is this? If we say about serious journalism, which does not serve somebody's interest, but the world journalism, which should raise the problematic issues and explain what happens in the world, how can you use the data with such words as there is an opinion? Whose opinion? Where is this opinion? Please give us facts, pictures, specific data from the earth. If you are serious journalists, if you are the journalist to be referred later by UN experts in their presentations, in their reports, official structures, so what kind of there is an opinion if we talk about victims and people. There is an opinion.
Но, как я сказала, у подобных публикаций
such publications have, as I said, specific kind of directing, but, well, prepared ground. The Minister of Foreign Affairs of Great Britain, Mr. Hammond, says that the Russia involvement in Syria is a small specimen of a Russian asymmetric use of conducting war. This is a serious policy. This is really something serious. We talk for a long time about fighting the world evil. How can you use such words when we talk about official words of an official representative of the country? Another assessment of the events to Syria was made by Mr. Cameron, the British Prime Minister. He said that the Russian anti-terrorist operation in Syria is a mistake. So it's not only a political assessment, it's the response of the international community to our specific efforts to combat international terrorism. Is this a mistake? Please explain to us, give us facts why it is a mistake. But this is the shaping of public opinion, because people watch TVs at their kitchens and they believe these people and they believe it's a mistake. Please support your words with some specific materials and facts. You are the leaders of your states. You have to be responsible for your words, because people's destinies depend on your words. This is another quote. Russia supports the butcher Assad, which is a blunder for them and for the world. This would destabilize the situation in the region, and the majority of the Russian airstrikes were in the area of Syrian non-controlled ISIS group, but it is controlled by other opponents of the regime, and this is said by the head of the state. He is pretty emotional in his assessment, and he says about mistakes without showing any facts. Similar responses from the Minister of Foreign Affairs in the United States, Mr. Carter, high-ranking official of the American military bloc. So he explains, he says that possibly, probably, it seems he's not the Minister of Culture. He is not the Minister of Sports or Tourism. He is the Minister of Defense. Possibly, probably, it seems. I have to say that at last we have restored the channel of communication with the United States on the level of the Ministry of Defense and some enforcement structures of our countries. If it is possible, probable, and it seems, you can telephone and then later provide the public with specific assessments. If such telephone conversations may take place on a regular basis, and if you are concerned about something, then you ask us again, specify the facts. We may be criticized for being non-transparent within the recent years, but the level of openness which is shown by the Department Department of Defense recently, especially in relation to Syrian problem, it is unprecedented. Lots of briefings, any video and photo materials. This is just public sphere of dealing with journalists. But probably not everybody understands it, but we are open for contacts in the military line for experts of other countries. And if somebody is concerned, we are ready to answer. But why should you go to briefing and say possibly, probably, and it seems? You should take up the receiver and call to your Russian colleagues, and they would explain the facts and respond to your concerns. Naturally, after such statements, the world mass media comes with the following headings, and they say that the purposes, the goals, true goals of Russia is not ISIS. I was in New York as a part of the Russian delegation. In my hotel, I saw the news. Next day after the decision of the Russian Federation to help the Syrian government in combating ISIS, all the TV channels, American and Canadian, responded to this. But how it all started? There was a running line, or there was just a text on the screen. What are the real goals of Russia in the region? What are true purposes of Russia in Syria? Is it true that Russia fights ISIS? In this way, you develop, you form, you shape the public opinion. It's not objective. Where is the field for coordination and assistance, which we talk about? This is a pre-planned summing up what has just started. We are in for cooperation, for interaction. No, immediately there is a conviction. Goals of Russia and Syria are not those that are announced publicly. Press Secretary of the White House, Mr. Ernst, said recently that the United States are assured that the military planes of Russia in Syria hit the territory which is occupied by the Syrian opposition and not by ISIS. I saw, he says, several notes that there were a couple of airstrikes made by Russia on the territory which is controlled by ISIS. But there are no traces that Russia changed its policy in fighting ISIS. They concentrate their efforts on the territory which is taken by the Assad opponents. Among them may be certain extremists. I have to remind you. It was not a year ago, not 2 years ago, but human memory can hold events of 10 years back. I want to remind you terrorist acts of 9/11, when we felt the pain of the states as our own, because we understand only too well what terrorism is about. And when Washington declared, well, he said it's a challenge to the national security in the strike on the country, and we supported the United States in everything and everywhere. In the Security Council, we presented our help to fight terrorists, and we didn't ask whether these terrorists were bad or not too bad. If someone is a terrorist, if he explodes the house and kills your child, he is a terrorist. I'd like to remind you another thing. Till recently, the international community didn't develop a united term which would explain the meaning of terrorism. There is no such a term, and in each country there is own national legislation which regulates this area. We understand it, but we should still fight together against the terrorist threat. Our countries supported other countries in their fights with terrorism. For us, this is an issue of national security. We know what it is. We have lived through it, and we don't want the repetition of an international terrorism, which we went through. This is too painful for us, and we expect understanding. One more thing which should be mentioned as well. So all this general concept is supported by mass media. They say that Russia bombs Hama, Homs, Rastan, Idlib. Where, as journalists say, and officials, there are no terrorists at all. So this is against moderate opposition and civilian population. Like, for instance, BBC published a geography of airstrikes by our air forces on Syrian territory. See, again, the memory should not be that short. A brief period of time back before the beginning of the Russian bombing against ISIS, the same mass media said that in these regions there are ISIS groups. In the beginning of August, there was a kidnapping of Christians in the Homs area. Is it any different Homs? There are many Homs in Syria. Oh, this is just hypocrisy. You say that fighters kidnapped 200 Christians in Homs, and then 1 month later you say that there are no ISIS. And you raise the question, who is bombed by Russians in this area? Now, this information on 200 Christians was actively supported and spinned off by the State Department. It was noted by our American colleagues. They dramatically criticized the practice of hostages. But hostages are taken by terrorists, or these terrorists were good in August and now probably they are very good. This is a painful logics. Next, a week ago, Western mass media described the execution of seven persons in Rastan for non-traditional orientation. And then you ask us, whom do we bomb? July 29, there was an American airstrike in Glib on tactical group of ISIS. And it was immediately mentioned in the report on the activity of the coalition to combat ISIS. Now you ask us, whom we bomb? And a separate story is the use of photo and video materials in mass media and, unfortunately, in official structures. On the first day, there was a story that from the Russian bomb, the leader of moderate opposition was killed. This is the quote. When a journalist prepares the material, it does not matter where he gets his information from, but currently with the development of mass media and information, within 5 minutes you may check what was said previously on the same subject. And previously mass media said that this person was captured by ISIS in January of 2014. And in other mass media it was said that in summer 2015 he was killed. Just let us try to be objective. If you have no other sources to check your information and you cannot call to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or Ministry of Defense of the Russian Federation, just be courageous and write in your newspapers that there is some alternative information which was published that this person was dead long ago. But this is not done, and I can tell you why. In the General Assembly couloirs, we have lots of talks with our colleagues. Someone supported the activities of Russia. Someone asked questions, but there were several meetings when all our colleagues repeated one and the same phrase. I will deliver this quote in English.
Is more important than reality.
Deception is more important than reality. And what is going on now is the development of this perception, which is more important than reality, because reality is combating ISIS. And the examples I have shown to you, this is the shaping of this perception, but it may turn into another reality, which would be different from real reality, which is a threat to all of us.
To continue, there's a separate topic, accusations of Russian airspace forces in the death of civilians, and what is quite unfair, children. The pictures that were made a few days before the Russian operations. And the pictures we use, they're quite often the pictures of bombed cities without any specification of what city was that, and when was the picture taken, or exact coordinates of the place. They're just stating that Russia has inflicted bomb attacks and the people are running in fear, and a boy is carrying a loaf of bread to the family that is sheltering itself from the Russian bombings. Listen, this is just clear propaganda. If you're showing a boy carrying a loaf of bread to the family hiding, then please show the boys whose parents were beheaded by the ISIS forces. And our military are there in the region. Just try to stop being propagandist. Don't allow yourself to be led, because you are forming new reality. And you are turning perception into reality. There's so many examples. Just show us some more slides. Those are the captions, some of the captions and the content that many of the mass media were producing. Let me remind you once more that practically hour by hour reporting is available on what are the Russian forces, Russian military doing, the airspace forces. They are available, they are published on the Russian Defense Ministry site. And the Defense Ministry is open and it's available for questions. And it's also true for the Foreign Affairs Ministry. And I don't believe that we should be representing here the data or the references for the Defense Ministry sites. You will easily find them. But I will ask you, just use those sources of information. I'm not telling you that you have to agree to that, but it is an alternative source of information and it must be used. And I cannot but tell you that on a daily basis, we are reading the data, the briefings from the State Department of the U.S., and there are some very absurd accusations that there's a lack of a Russian readiness to join the international coalition. But we have repeatedly stated that we are not against joint efforts to counter ISIS, but we cannot join the coalition on the terms that it is acting, because they are not in line with international law. It has been clearly described the way the international coalition is acting on the Iraqi territory. That is legal, because there is an agreement from Baghdad government. And if similar steps or measures are taken in relation to the Syrian government, that will be legal and lawful, and we will have no grounds to accuse international coalition to blame them for the lack of a lawful character. We are not giving up our strive for joint efforts, but we will not agree to the illegal actions of the coalition.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.